In a world increasingly divided by competing narratives, Sarah Viren's experience offers a chilling glimpse into what happens when accusations trump facts. Imagine receiving an email containing false sexual harassment allegations against your spouse while celebrating at a graduation party. The contrast is jarring, joy and accomplishment instantly overshadowed by a threatening intrusion that arrives without warning. This isn't just a personal nightmare, it's a microcosm of our larger cultural struggle with truth, evidence, and justice. The accusations against Viren's wife, Marta, appeared strategically timed. Just as professional opportunities were opening up, this shadow emerged, threatening to undermine everything they had worked for. What makes such situations particularly devastating is how quickly they transform your perception of the world. Suddenly, every interaction becomes suspect, every colleague a potential threat. The safe, rational environment you thought you inhabited reveals itself as potentially hostile territory, where anonymous attacks can come without warning or justification. What's most unsettling about false accusations is how they force you to question connections you previously took for granted. Every past conversation gets re-examined for hidden meanings or motivations. The boundaries between paranoia and reasonable caution blur when you know someone is actively working to undermine you. And in our digital age, anonymous online posts somehow gain the power to affect physical reality, professional standing, and future prospects. Like the prisoners in Plato's cave, who mistake shadows for reality, we often confuse representations of truth with truth itself in today's information landscape. Our educational experiences fundamentally shape this perception. Two students in the same classroom can emerge with vastly different understandings, one developing strong critical thinking skills, while another finds reinforcement for existing beliefs. This divergence in perception, influenced by personal beliefs, family context, and intellectual readiness, explains how former classmates can end up with fundamentally different relationships to factual reality. These early classroom experiences often predict the real-world divisions that emerge later, raising critical questions about why some develop stronger analytical skills while others become more susceptible to misinformation. When deeply held progressive values, like believing victims, collide with principles of due process, it creates difficult tensions between supporting survivors and protecting the falsely accused. False accusations don't just harm the accused, they undermine legitimate victims by making their stories harder to believe. Yet public discourse often falsely frames this as a binary choice between unconditional belief of all accusers or complete dismissal of victims. Institutions frequently prioritize reputation management over finding truth, making decisions based on publicity concerns rather than facts. Their responses may swing between hasty judgment and indefinite delay. We need a balanced framework that both honors those reporting misconduct and upholds the presumption of innocence. This requires moving beyond tribal thinking to create fair processes that thoroughly investigate while protecting all parties involved. Our memories aren't perfect recordings, but reconstructions influenced by subsequent experiences and current perspectives. Two people can experience the same event, yet recall it entirely differently, not because either is deliberately lying, but because memory itself is malleable and subjective. This natural distortion becomes particularly significant when considering accusations that emerge years after alleged events. Memory's unreliability doesn't mean we should dismiss all delayed reports, but it does suggest we should approach them with both compassion and careful evaluation. The confidence with which someone recalls an event isn't always proportional to the accuracy of that recollection. In Viren's experience, she discovered inaccuracies in her own memories, sometimes conflating different classmates in her mind. These weren't deliberate fabrications, but natural cognitive processes. If we struggle to accurately recall our own experiences, how much more challenging is it to evaluate conflicting accounts from others? This reality complicates our cultural conversation about truth and accountability. It suggests that binary thinking, either someone is telling the absolute truth or deliberately lying, misses the complex ways human memory and perception actually work. Two contradictory accounts might both reflect sincere beliefs about what happened, filtered through the distorting lens of memory and personal perspective. How do we move forward after experiencing false accusations or injustice? One powerful approach involves reclaiming narrative control, transforming painful experiences into stories we tell on our own terms. When Viren published her essay about the false accusations, the response was immediate. Thousands of readers resonated with her tale of deception and institutional failure. Some compared it to Kafka or Borges, noting the surreal quality of a situation where truth seemed malleable and institutions offered no protection. This transformation from private trauma to public narrative was both healing and vulnerable. While sharing validated the experience and connected it to broader institutional failures, the published narrative took on a life beyond the author's control. True liberation comes not from forgetting or traditional forgiveness, but from understanding that these experiences don't define your future unless you allow them to. The shadows remain, but you're free to shift your perspective and see them for what they are. We live in a world where competing narratives often overshadow shared facts. This post-truth environment evolved as various forces eroded our relationship with factual reality. Educational approaches that emphasize questioning everything without teaching evidence evaluation can backfire. When students learn to doubt but aren't taught how to build reliable understanding, healthy skepticism can transform into cynicism or conspiracy thinking. The internet compounds this by creating echo chambers where fringe beliefs find validation. Ideas that would once face challenge in person now find supportive online communities that amplify them, creating separate information ecosystems with divergent views of reality. Navigating this landscape requires sophisticated information evaluation skills. We must distinguish between healthy skepticism, questioning claims and seeking evidence, and cynical rejection, dismissing all claims regardless of proof. Education should focus on both critical thinking and constructive knowledge building. The most important lesson from Viren's experience might be the necessity of embracing complexity in our pursuit of truth and justice. Binary thinking, dividing the world into heroes and villains, victims and perpetrators, truth tellers and liars, fails to capture the messy reality of human experience. Real progress requires holding multiple truths simultaneously, that most accusations are made in good faith, and that false accusations do occur, that memory is both powerful and fallible, that institutions can both protect and fail us. We need approaches to truth-seeking that acknowledge these complexities, rather than flattening them into simplistic narratives. This doesn't mean abandoning the pursuit of truth or accountability. Rather, it means approaching these goals with humility about the limits of our knowledge and perception. It means creating processes that protect both the right to be heard and the right to due process. It means recognizing that our relationship with truth is always evolving, always incomplete, always in need of careful tending. In a world increasingly defined by certainty and tribal allegiance, embracing this complexity might be our most radical act and our best hope for moving toward a more just and truthful society.